You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Bellbell Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Bellbell.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, February 19th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Oh my goodness, I'm having a lot of fun on social media today. Been discussing the proposed Ohio legalization amendment from Responsible Ohio, the 2015 version, that has got a lot of people riled up in Ohio. They're not very happy about the idea of a 10-member cartel buying legalization. I'm going to talk about that in hour two a little bit. So if you're listening from Ohio and want to get your thoughts in, phone number is 971-533-7111. The Responsible Ohio Group just yesterday finally released their amendment language, and I haven't had a chance to go through all of it yet. But you know me, my general default position is to support legalization. I find it difficult to find myself on the same side of a ballot issue as the drug czar. So I always support legalization, but I'm willing to listen to compelling arguments by those who think I ought not to, and I'm willing to listen to them fairly. So if you've got a proposal as to why we shouldn't support legalization in 2015 in Ohio, I'm willing to listen to it. But for today, in hour one, we got to continue our unpacking of the International Cannabis Business Conference. Took place in San Francisco on Sunday and Monday and was, again, a premier event. Yesterday, we got to see Doug Fine and Ethan Nadelman in extended interviews, as well as presentations from Dr. Carl Hart, Dr. Stanton Peel, and the media panel. On today's show, I am so excited to bring you this, especially on a Groovin' Thursday, Freeway Ricky Ross. That's right, the man who is doing $3 million a day in crack cocaine sales in Los Angeles in the mid-80s. The man who was the connection to the CIA's crack scandal that was uncovered by Gary Webb. We spoke to him at the International Cannabis Business Conference. We'll bring that to you at half past the hour. At 45 past, I had a great conversation with Amanda Ryman from the Drug Policy Alliance. She's been working in Berkeley, California for a long time, did that great survey with the Berkeley Patients Group on opioid pain management. We'll get to talk to her at 45 past. Also on the show, taking up the spots of Behind the Headlines and Drug War Data Mining, we've got Representative Dana Rohrabacher, the Orange County Republican, who is a staunch supporter of marijuana rights, a little bit of his presentation at the conference, and two different presentations from Dale Sky Jones. You may remember her from the Prop 19 campaign. She's the chancellor of Oaksterdam University. She spoke at the International Cannabis Business Conference and at another event that took place Monday night, Women Grow, a Bay Area women's sort of membership meeting, meetups, networking situation. So she spoke at that. We'll give you some highlights from that event as well. In hour two, we're going to feature Rick Steves' presentation. He gave the keynote on day two of the International Cannabis Business Conference. Also, we've got Troy Dayton from the ArcView Group giving us some numbers on the growth of the marijuana industry, and John W. Lee from one of the groups in California fighting to legalize in 2016. We've also got the 420 radio news coming up right after this first break, and in the headlines today, more lawsuits to try to shut down Colorado legalization. We've got competing groups in Michigan fighting for legalization. Sounds like that's going to be the storyline for most of the states going forward with this legalization. We've got another potential CBD-only state in Virginia. North Dakota has once again rejected medical marijuana legalization, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz wants to run for Senate, but the medical marijuana community wants to stop her. All of that and more coming up on today's Russ Bellbell Show.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Fun.
Oh, hello. I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Ring. We're partying hard over here, baby. So stop on by, check out the funky grooves, and shake your booty too.
Don't get in a too deep, brother. Don't get in a too heavy. Don't get so you can move a bottle whenever you get ready.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, February 19th, 2015. Two lawsuits filed in federal court Thursday aim to shut down Colorado's regulated marijuana industry, claiming that the state's recreational marijuana laws are in violation of federal law. The suits, filed by the anti-drug group Safe Streets and three other plaintiffs, target a number of Colorado lawmakers, including Governor John Hickenlooper. They allege that by allowing for a regulated marijuana market, these lawmakers are breaking federal law, which considers the plant illegal. But going a step beyond simply suing the state, the plaintiffs are also going after participants in Colorado's commercial marijuana industry. Citing federal racketeering laws, the plaintiffs are seeking damages due to alleged injury brought on by legalization. The suits argue that under the U.S. Constitution Supremacy Clause, which states that federal law generally takes precedence over state law, Colorado's legalization of recreational marijuana is unconstitutional because marijuana remains illegal at the federal level. Two separate and potentially competing groups are laying the groundwork for 2016 ballot proposals that would seek to legalize, regulate, and tax marijuana in Michigan. Jeffrey Hank, an attorney who spearheaded a still-pending legalization effort in East Lansing last year, filed paperwork with the state on Tuesday to form the Michigan Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Committee. The activist community has long discussed a potential statewide proposal, but the effort has taken on a new urgency in recent weeks with the formation of the new group that they fear will put a more restrictive legalization measure on the ballot. Susie Mitchell, president and CFO of the East Lansing-based Mitchell Research and Communications firm, filed paperwork with the state last month to create a new nonprofit corporation called the Michigan Responsibility Council. Sources familiar with the effort believe the Michigan Responsibility Council will be well-funded and may seek to create a tightly regulated industry. Two types of medical marijuana extracts would be legal to possess and recommend for epilepsy treatment in Virginia under legislation passed by the state Senate on Wednesday and sent to the governor for his signature. The Senate voted 37-1 in favor of House Bill 1445, which would allow Virginians suffering from epileptic seizures relief in the form of cannabidiol oil and THCA oil, two marijuana derivatives. The Virginia House had unanimously passed the bill on February 10th. The bill would provide an affirmative defense for sufferers of intractable epilepsy. This means that if patients happen to be arrested and charged with possession of marijuana, they could produce their certificate to the courts at least 10 days before trial and walk without any charges. If Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe signs the legislation, Virginia would join a national trend of 11 states that have passed so-called CBD-only laws. North Dakota's Republican-led House Wednesday rejected a measure to legalize medical marijuana, citing concerns about public safety and the burden on law enforcement. The House voted 67-26 to kill the bipartisan measure. The bill would allow up to 2 ounces of cannabis-infused products for medical use. The measure was amended from an earlier version that would have allowed people to smoke marijuana for medicinal purposes and grow up to 6 marijuana plants in home pot gardens. The measure would let someone who suffers from cancer, glaucoma, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other debilitating illnesses to use marijuana if a doctor recommends it. Only products derived from pot, such as oils, ointments, beverages, and edible products, could be used. At a hearing before the House Human Services Committee earlier this month, people suffering chronic pain and parents of critically ill children made emotional pleas to legalize medicinal marijuana products. Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz's interest in running for U.S. Senate has encountered strong resistance from a traditional ally of her party, medical marijuana activists. Because of her congressional votes and her criticisms of a Florida medical marijuana initiative last year, 4 political groups that advocate prescription cannabis and drug decriminalization vowed to campaign against the Florida representative if she were to seek a Senate seat in 2016. Quote, "She's voted repeatedly to send terminally ill patients to prison, and we're certainly going to make sure Floridians know that, not to mince words," end quote, said Bill Piper, National Affairs Director with the Washington-based Drug Policy Alliance. The threats from Piper's group, echoed by People United for Medical Marijuana in Florida and the National Marijuana Policy Project and Americans for Safe Access, marked the only major public reaction to the news. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, February 19th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420 Radio.
With over 1 billion people in the world, chances are there's somebody out there just like you. There are software engineers, pastry chefs, artists, and people with medical conditions. And what do many of these people have in common? They use marijuana. It's expected that marijuana will be legalized in California. And when that happens, what will be the biggest concern? Safety. That's where we come in. High Def Transit is a discreet shuttle service that also serves as a mobile vapor room. Members can medicate on board while our certified drivers get you to your destination safely so you can enjoy the ride. So hop in, make friends, and ride safe. High Def Transit.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end the cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated.
Welcome back, everyone. 14 and a half after the hour. And today in Behind the Headlines, we're taking another look at the International Cannabis Business Conference that took place in San Francisco, California at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. And before we go on to our clip of Representative Dana Rohrabacher, I'd like to remind you that the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference is coming up March 15th and 16th. It'll be taking place in Eugene, Oregon at the Eugene Hilton. You can find out more information at OMMBC.com, I believe is the address, or just Google Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. We're going to turn now to Representative Dana Rohrabacher and a highlight from his keynote speech at the International Cannabis Business Conference just this last Sunday.
And they portray them as Samuel Adams' pub. When they went in, it was like a biker bar. These were not upper middle class people acting respectively of the law who founded our country. These were gutsy people who they meant to have their freedom, and they were willing to fight for it. And the British government better not get in the way. And we're going to throw the damn tea in the harbor, and we're not going to pay your taxes because it's unjust, the laws that you have. And unless we are participating in making those laws, we are not going to obey them. And that was the attitude that made our country. And somewhere along the line, because we were so proud that we had accomplished a country that was based on this, we've lost some of those fundamental principles that were laid down. And the most important thing, of course, is we believe that rights are given by God to the individual, and the government has no business stepping in, telling us how to run our lives and rest. We are violating others. And there are serious, serious implications that happen when government goes beyond the rightful role that government is supposed to play. And nowhere is that more clear than in the drug war that we've been seeing and the effect that it has had on our country. It was a, until the 1900, or right around the turn of the century there, it was considered someone's right to consume. It was his body, his or her body, and they could consume what they wanted. I mean, that was part of their right. You owned your body, and that sort of concept has just gone way over because they want to protect us from ourselves. And by protecting us from ourselves and our decisions, what we have created is the basis of what, for a large segment of our population, it is no different than a fascist or communist state. You have if you're a black citizen in this country and somebody says to the police, there's drugs in that person's house, the police come busting in with their guns blazing, for Pete's sakes. What is that, freedom? And of course, in the areas where I live, and I live in a middle-income area in the state, Orange County, California, along the coast, the police don't do that. They don't. And a policeman who arrests somebody in my area, you can bet that really, that person, that young person, who's a young person especially, will have a lawyer and will get out of it, probably won't even spend the night in jail. But in our minorities and poorer communities, we basically know that those people, they will destroy their lives. You arrest some young person, he's going to spend a long time in jail, and you won't have a lawyer, so he's going to have to plead guilty. You're going to plead guilty to, because I'm the court-appointed lawyer, and you plead guilty to this, you'll only spend 6 months in prison, and then it will be over. Okay. We are destroying that person's life for the rest of his or her life. They can't get a job. It's ridiculous. And
that's Representative Dana Rohrabacher from Orange County, California, laying down some truth about the war on drugs and understanding that this is largely a problem that is going to affect the poor, minorities, much greater proportion than are affecting most of his constituents. So I'm so glad to hear him speaking out from that perspective. And someone in our chat room made the mention that he wished more Republicans were like this guy. I think we're going to see an increasing number of Republicans who are going to be more social libertarian, are going to return to small government roots and reject that evangelical wing that demands a moral stance on issues like drugs. I think the money is too great for them not to want to swing that way.
Sorry, I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
All right, it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. Happy 4:20 to all our listeners in Colorado enjoying legality, and the rest of you mountain states that are envious of legality. You know what I say, smoke them if you got them. Freedom is what you make of it. We'll be back with more ICBC highlights right after this.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radio.org, and our Facebook page at 420radio.org. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did. Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420radio to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby! Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining. Here's Dale Sky Jones from the ICBC.
Your potential. How big can you grow? How large is your market size? And what is your potential piece of that market share? And right now, while all politics are local, we also have to realize that what is said and done in Colorado is going to directly affect what soccer mom thinks in Ohio. And so things like semantics in our advocacy and our business still matter. That words like recreational still scare soccer moms as they think about their children consuming recreationally at whatever age their children happen to be at that moment in time, rather than adult or retail cannabis that can be ID'd and slated. So part of what we're trying to do in mitigate our business risk, in mitigating that business risk, is also kind of mitigating the risk to society, as Stanton so eloquently talked about earlier. And these are examples that we can lift up to say, look, hellfire and damnation did not rain upon the earth after all. Cats are not sleeping with dogs. So there's a crisis in confidence right now for donations, and we've heard a few people talking about it. But the good news is we do have some special advantages, aside from just simply having history on our side, that the arc is long, but it bends towards justice. So we're on the right side of history, we know this. We have to continue having the conversations, and there's some important changes that I want to make sure you know about, especially going into 2016. Very important changes. It changes the forecasting trends for what we feel like we already know, especially considering we've been staring at this for so many years. But these changes are going to affect economics, the political, technological, and social implications of how we move this forward. So let's explain how some of these forces have formed and how they're also opening a unique window in our history. And these results, they are being written into history, and we will be judged by generations to come. What did you do? Are you ready to step up big? So today you and I contemplate our encounter with destiny. We talk about who will craft this initiative that is so inevitable for California. So what is inevitable about this initiative? That it will pass? What is it? What will we pass? And who will be around to defend it in December of 2016 to ensure that it is implemented in the way that it was intended? How cumbersome will licensing be? What will the entry fees and limitations be? Tax burdens? And will there be a level playing field? Not just financial discrimination, but also criminal discrimination and barriers. That as we take away the lifeblood in some communities, their ability to pay their rent and feed their children, that we don't then bar entry into this new economic opportunity. That if you have cannabis conviction, you're the expert in the room. So it's really about, you know, who's going to survive and the existing California stakeholders as well as the stakeholders in your neck of the woods, because it's not just California that's going to be on the ballot in 2016. There's likely at least, well, 4 to 5 other states, and then we also have 2017 and 2018. And so the decision to act with advocacy in mind or just wait on the sidelines, your decision to involve yourself, it's going to change the way perhaps you look back on this moment, that you think of me standing here as you watch that law get changed or watch those policymakers determine whether or not the business plan in your head right now is dead on arrival. Because whether or not you advocate for your future will determine whether or not you have one. And while we're at it, we can actually make life better for an awful lot of other people too. Their potential. How big can you grow? How large is your market size? And what is your potential piece of that market share? And right now, while all politics are local, we also have to realize that what is said and done in Colorado is going to directly affect what soccer mom thinks in Ohio. And so things like semantics in our advocacy and our business still matter. That words like recreational still scare soccer moms as they think about their children consuming recreationally at whatever age their children happen to be at that moment in time, rather than adult or retail cannabis that can be ID'd and slated. So part of what we're trying to do in mitigate our business risk, in mitigating that business risk, is also kind of mitigating the risk to society, as Stanton so eloquently talked about earlier. And these are examples that we can lift up to say, look, hellfire and damnation did not rain upon the earth after all. Cats are not sleeping with dogs. So
we're in the California market is, I'm going to bring up Dale Sky Jones, who's the chancellor of Osterdam University and is heading up the Reform California campaign that we all need to support in order for us all to be successful. Dale.
Good evening, women grow. Okay, not bad, not bad. Jasmine, I think they can do better. What do you think? Good evening, women grow. That's what I'm talking about. All right, I knew they had it in them. Guys, I am so pleased to be here. This is actually my second Women Grow event, and I watched kind of from afar as Women Grow got started. Is that a little better? And I realized after my first Women Grow event, where they insisted that I actually talk about my personal story, which is awkward. I like to talk about policy, not me. But I realized that what I was actually doing after a lot of these women came up to talk to me afterwards, and their men, was that I somehow accidentally cut a path that I didn't realize I was doing at the time because I was just kind of bumbling blind, just trying to get the thickets out from in front of me. But I looked back and there was actually a pretty clear path. And I realized that there were other women behind me on that path, making it wider and better and grading it and making it more pleasant and beautifying it. And I realized that that's really kind of how I got here, was watching a woman with a baby and realizing, well, there's no babies in corporate, but we could have babies maybe here, because we, women, have an opportunity to form this new industry. Now, I just want you to think about what this means for a minute. It's not just for women, it's for the boys that we are all raising as well. I have two sons, so I care about the men in the room as well. Because behind a lot of these strong women are some really good men, uplifting and empowering men. So we should give a shout out to the channel for the women. Because you are also here supporting women grow and CCPR. But I realized just becoming simply a conduit, and that's really all I am, is a conduit by which other people's good ideas can come together and flow. And by simply being an example, in the act of becoming a spokeswoman for cannabis policy reform, I quite accidentally became a spokeswoman for motherhood. And I realized in all of this big picture influence research that I'm doing to try to change the world, to try to change this policy reform, we know that we have to prove to the public that they can do it and that it is worth it. And I discovered that in the process, we're doing the same thing for women in this industry, that you can actually be a wife and a mom and a CEO simultaneously and be successful. That the new working mom might be you take your babies with you to work and strap them on. That there are ways to do it, that you can hire the type of people that can help you make it happen, that you just have to be mindful and decide.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everyone. 33 and a half after the hour. And today in the chat, I was so blessed to get this opportunity to interview Freeway Ricky Ross, the CIA crack cocaine connection of the early and mid 80s. And it was great to see him having a discussion with Representative Dana Rohrabacher. You can catch the conversation between Freeway Ricky Ross and Representative Dana Rohrabacher at marijuanapolitics.com. But now let's turn to my conversation with Freeway Ricky.
Yes, yes, yes.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here at the International Cannabis Business Conference in San Francisco, and sitting to my right, we have Freeway Ricky Ross. How you doing, Ricky?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
It's great to meet you. We've got all sorts of people that are bowing and scraping because they know your story. But for folks that don't know, you were the man in the 1980s, the man who was a major...
connected to the White House.
Yeah, you were the connection. Tell people the...
from the White House to the streets.
The thumbnail sketch of your life. How did you become Freeway Ricky Ross?
Well, I was around 19 years old, and one of my friends called me and told me that he had this new thing. At that time, I was flat broke, didn't have a dime to my name, and he told me he had this new thing. I go over to his house. It was cocaine. From that day on, my whole life changed. I went from moving $25 rocks for him to selling $3 million loads of cocaine. Eventually, got my own task force.
Yeah.
Where they assembled two or three officers from all the police stations around Los Angeles, and their goal was to catch me. Eventually, they caught me. I got a life sentence without the possibility of parole. Then it was discovered that the guy that I was getting all my drugs from was a CIA operative from Nicaragua. Gary Webb from the San Jose Mercury Bee broke the story. I don't know if they know, too, and the movie just came out about Gary.
Yeah,
Kill the Messenger. I don't know what happened, but they took it off the market really quick. Hopefully, it'll get back out. But the movie was really good. My character's in the movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got Michael K. Williams playing my role.
That's all right.
And that kind of, sums it up. I got my new book is out.
Let's tell people about the book, because if you want to know the full details, I mean, we can't go into everything in this little interview, but tell them about the book.
Well, I wrote the book when I was in prison with a life sentence without the possibility of parole. And sitting in my cell, I wanted to be able to give back to society. I thought that people should really know about the drug war, about drug dealing, about a drug dealer. I wanted to put them inside of my head.
And what is it that people, people have this thought in their head of what a crack dealer, drug dealer might be. What don't they know?
Well, most people don't know that I've never done a violent act. I mean, when I was in elementary school, I had some fights.
Yeah, like a kid does.
We used to fight, but, never. We would fight and then 15 minutes later, we go into the candy store together.
Sure.
So it wasn't the type of fights where you're trying to kill a guy or the guy's trying to kill you, just kids really goofing around. And as far as violence, that's probably the most violent thing that I've ever done in my life. So to know that a person could get a life sentence for selling drugs that basically people asked me to sell to them was really bizarre to me.
You mentioned life sentence, the possibility of parole, but obviously you're here. So how did you get out?
Well, while I was in prison, they gave me a life sentence of parole, and my lawyer pretty much said that I was done. Guys in prison told me that if I was going to get out, it was through the law library. So I taught myself to read or write, because I couldn't read or write until I was 28 years old.
And you're moving $3 million worth of product, and that's amazing.
But it doesn't take an education, the formal education, to sell drugs. I mean, drugs has no ceiling. It's colorblind. It's area blind. It doesn't matter. All you have to do really is just be a good person, treat people the way you want to be treated, and you'll go far.
And so these are lessons that you could pass on to the now legal drug industry of marijuana that's happening in the West Coast.
Absolutely. And that's why my book is doing so well. My book is a bestseller right now on Amazon, and I'm independent. I published my book myself. And those are the reasons that it's doing that, because people understand that, most people can't start with $125 and make $3 million a day. So they're trying to figure out how I did it.
No doubt. Now, you were just here speaking with Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, a Rock Rib Republican from the Orange County.
Wow.
Is that like a trip or what?
Man, that was crazy. And then just to hear his views, that he understands that the drug war is stealing from our kids, it's like a machine that churns people up for itself, almost like the hamster on the ring where it just keeps going around and around. If you take the money from the schools and put it on prisons, then what's going to happen is you're going to have more kids that wind up going to prison.
You did a lot of time. In that time you're incarcerated, you must have seen a lot of murderers, rapists, thieves, robbers, bad people get out before you. How'd that make
you
feel?
Man, it was crazy to come and see a guy that murdered somebody get 3 years in prison, and I got a life sentence. It was really bizarre, you know. But, you know, I did a lot of studying and I found out that the reason cops didn't really care about murders and stuff because you could get a promotion faster by catching drug dealers. You know, the guy who called me, he got promoted. Yeah. You know, I had a special prosecutor who was one of the smartest guys in the country, but he didn't want to catch rapists and murders. He wanted to catch drug dealers because it was a way of padding their books. They could go and tell the government, you know, look, we caught X amount of drugs from these guys, or these guys were moving X amount of drugs, and we need X amount of money to catch them because they're sophisticated.
Yeah. You're getting a lot of attention now, both for the book and your speaking out, and like you said, legalization is happening, and this gives you kind of an expert cred.
Yeah, it does.
You recently went to Washington. You spoke with the Congressional Black Caucus.
I did. I went to that convention, and I was allowed to speak. Congressman Carson from Indiana invited me down, and it was just amazing, you know. And I caught the eye of Jesse Jackson, you know, and he figured out that, you know, the black community don't need more prisons. They need some economic stimulation.
Yeah.
You know, we need economics. So he held an economic summit, and he had me as the keynote speaker there. And I mean, it's just amazing to see now. And I was just at a hemp fest, too, in San Bernardino, and to see all these kids out, you know, doing things that would have got all of them locked up. I said, you know what? Back in the day, they would have called the National Guards out on you.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Because it was amazing how these young kids, they just kept coming up to the booth I was at, you know, want to talk to me and ask me about the laws and everything I learned. And I was like, you know, they would have locked all y'all up for doing what you're doing out here today.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's amazing that people have started to think and stand up for other people, you know. Whereas before, it would be like, oh, that's just them, it's not me.
Yeah.
Let it happen.
You know, in speaking to the Congressional Black Caucus or African-American faith leaders, there's kind of a pushback sometimes in the minority community against drugs and legalization because they've seen the devastation of the drug war. Is that something you try to get across to them, that, hey, it's because it was illegal that the bad things went down?
Yeah. And you know, we also got to let them know that just like in the crack law, where they passed, you know, Maxine Waters, Congresswoman Maxine Waters was one who voted to pass the crack law, but she knows now that she made a mistake.
That's, by the way, folks, the one where it was 100-to-1 disparity. If you're a white guy in the suburbs doing a half a kilo of coke, you got the same time as a guy doing 5 grams of crack.
Absolutely.
In the city.
No, you got more time.
More
time for the crack. So they knowing that they made a mistake, and now I think that they're ready to make some changes, and I'm excited to see that they're standing up, and just the whole world is starting to change now. You know, I mean, we got 2.2 million people in prison right now, and I don't know how many that's been on probation. And then if we add up the felons, because, you know, once you become a felon, you become a felon forever.
Yeah.
You know, you never not a felon.
Right.
You know, so we probably have 30-40 million felons in this country, and it's sad that greater number of our society are felons, and then we know that most of them are there because of drugs.
Here's a stat to blow your mind. In the state of Florida, you become a felon if you're caught with 21 grams of marijuana or more.
Crazy.
Because of that statistic, partially because of that, 1 out of 5 black people of voting age can't vote in Florida. Had that not been the case, Al Gore would have won the presidency in 2000.
Wow.
So just to think of how the drug war takes away people's rights. And one of the things I've found is, you know, out in the West Coast, talking to people, trying to get them to sign up to vote, a lot of guys will say, oh, no, man, I got a drug conviction, I'm a felon. They don't realize in a lot of states, you get your right to vote back.
Once
you've completed all that. So talk a little bit about how to engage these people, folks that have gotten on the wrong side of the law. A lot of times, they don't want to make any waves. They just want to stay low.
Yeah.
Encourage them to get involved if you can.
Well, we have to stand up for our rights, no matter where you at, where you've been in life. If you don't stand up for your rights, nobody else should. So it's all of our obligation and our duty to speak out about this illegal drug war. I mean, this war has been waged for 50 or 60 years. We spend trillions of dollars. I think the number is something like $3 trillion that we spent. Money that we could have been, you know, creating jobs. Because most drug dealers would take a job if he could get it. And I think it's high time that we all come together, especially the convicted felon in this country. We come together and stand up for our rights. You know, we know what the system is like. We've been through it. We know that it's not fair. We know how they treat us in prison. They treat us inhumane when we're in prison. You know, they make us eat food that's not consumed. That's how I became a vegetarian. You know, I couldn't eat the meat that they were serving in prison. It was ridiculous. So it's time for us to all come together, and I'm hoping that I continue to lead the trail and show guys what we're supposed to do. I mean, even if you just let one person know, you know, that the drug war is not right, and explain to them how it works. And that's what I do right now. You know, I just spoke in Oklahoma to like 300 or 400 kids, man. It was crazy, and they loved me, and they all understood that they got to start thinking for themselves. They can't let Big Brother dictate to them how they should live their life.
Freeway Ricky Ross, he's the man. You've got the new book out. Tell folks how to get in touch with it and how to get in touch with you, Twitter, Facebook, any of that stuff.
Yeah, you can get the book at Rick Ross Book. Books.com, or you can go to Amazon, Kindle, Nook, and if you want to hit me up, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I'm at Freeway Ricky.
Freeway Ricky. Thanks so much for joining us on the Russ Belville Show. Appreciate talking to you.
Man, this is wonderful, man. This is a whole new experience for me, the cannabis movement, medical marijuana. I'm with it all the way. I just want to learn more.
All right. Let's get to learning. Thanks so much for joining us, and have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you.
20 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Most high school juniors in Oregon don't use marijuana. Marijuana, it's not popular.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 48 after the hour, and now Amanda Ryman from the International Cannabis Business Conference. Enjoy. Welcome back, everyone. We're at the International Cannabis Business Conference in San Francisco, California, and joining us here at the Russ Belville Show desk, we have Dr. Amanda Ryman from the Drug Policy Alliance. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Russ. How are you?
Great. And you were just on a panel with Dale Skye Jones, Stanton Peel, and...
Jim Gonzalez was the moderator.
I was going to say Joe, but Jim Gonzalez. There we go. Got it right. And tell us a little bit about what you were presenting here at the conference.
Well, our panel was specifically about advocacy. And, you know, I think it's important as we move forward with this new industry that is very exciting with a lot of opportunities that we don't ignore the immense harms that marijuana prohibition has caused vulnerable communities over the last 40 years. And so what I was trying to tell the audience is that, you know, it's great to say I'm going to go into this community and I'm going to bring 50 new jobs with me. But what about the people who can't get jobs because they have drug convictions? Mm-hmm. What about them? You know, it's great to say I'm an organic farmer who's going to be growing sustainably on this land, but what about all the land that's been devastated by trespass grows? So as a burgeoning industry, we have a responsibility not only to be socially responsible moving forward, but to be socially responsible in how we treat the past.
It's a strange industry in that we, you know, it started off with medical marijuana and now recreational adult use of cannabis is becoming legal. And in almost all of these laws, there's some codicil in it that says if you've had a grow felony in the past or you've been busted in the past dealing, you can't get involved. It's got to be the only industry that says, hey, you experts, you're not allowed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is that the people that are most likely to have gotten those arrests and those charges for cultivation are the people that were trying to be transparent. I mean, right. The more transparent you try to be, meaning that you're growing in an appropriate place, that you're not diverting water. I mean, all the things we would want from a good, responsible farmer also puts you most at risk.
Yeah.
So you know, we've created a system where the people that are willing to come out and be seen, you know, they're kind of the ones putting their heads on the chopping block. And it would be really unfortunate if we created an industry that completely barred the folks that took the most risk over the years.
Yeah, now in moving forward in creating that industry, the next big move, of course, is the state of California, 2016 coming up, and everybody's pointing at this. And Dale made a few mentions to this as well in her presentation about getting everyone together on the same page in California and understanding how many different stakeholders are involved here. Can you give us a look forward to what's happening? I mean, what's happening now to get people together and what you see moving forward in 2016?
Well, I think that Ethan made a really good point this morning, which is when we talk about California and marijuana legalization, we're not just talking about people who care about marijuana. We're talking about people who care about the environment. We're talking about people who care about equity and jobs and a job availability. So it's definitely important that, yes, we hear from the marijuana base. We need to know what they want. And CCPR has been doing an amazing job, the California Cannabis Policy Reform. You know, if you watch Monty Python, it's the People's Front of Judea,
yeah,
is how
Judean
I keep saying it.
Front.
Yeah,
splitters.
Exactly. So they've been doing an amazing job having stakeholder meetings and really listening to the people that have a vested interest because they know a lot about marijuana, they care about marijuana. Where Drug Policy Alliance sees itself is really reaching outside of that box, doing a lot of work with social justice organizations, with religious organizations, with labor organizations. And I myself have been doing a lot of work with environmental organizations, hearing what their stake is in this fight and how do we address their concerns. Because what we need to do is we need to convince the public that what they're voting for is better than what they have now. And to be honest, we've had medical marijuana in California for 20 years. Some may say we've had a pilot legalization program in California for 20 years. And for a good majority of Californians, it's working pretty well. So I think it's important that we show people what regulation can get them. It's going to get more patients access. It's going to help with the environmental degradation that's been happening. And most importantly, it's going to stop people from getting in trouble for marijuana possession. Because even though possession of less than an ounce is an infraction in California, it's black and brown folks that are getting the majority of those infractions. And it's still a ticket. And if you can't pay the fine and you're on probation, you can have your probation revoked. I mean, what we've seen time and time again is that whether it's a slap on the wrist or the death penalty, no matter where the punishment lies in severity, it will always be heaped on poor people of color.
Absolutely.
So the only way you get around that, eliminate the punishment.
There we go. We're speaking with Amanda Ryman from Drug Policy Alliance, working hard in California to get legalization to happen. And, you know, we mentioned that decriminalization from 2010 when the governor tried to take the wind out of the sails of Prop 19. And I think Ethan made an allusion to the fact of here's one we lost where we actually won because we started the conversation and we did end up with decriminalization. Now in 2014 and moving forward, we've got President Obama, Eric Holder, the Cole memo. We have so much now that is allowing state legalization to go forward. And Congressman Rohrabacher was here as well, the author of that amendment that forbade the Department of Justice from spending money to go after state legal medical marijuana, or I assume, well, it's just medical marijuana the way it's written. And then yet we have Melinda Hogg. and we have Patrick Ormsby, and we have the prosecution of the Kettles Falls Five, Berkeley Patients Group, Harborside. How are they getting away with spending this money?
Well, I think what it's really about, I mean, in specifically the case in Northern California with the attacks on Harborside and Berkeley Patients Group, is it's an attempt to take down the most well-regulated, most respectable organizations, because those are the ones that pro-legalization folks point to say regulation works. If you remove all of the good actors and all you're left with are the bad actors, it's really easy to point to a system and say, well, it's completely out of control. Look at the people that are running it. It's like, well, you took away everybody that was trying to do it right. And so I think we're seeing a similar kind of action. Now, you know, in terms of Melinda Haig, man, I wish I could have a little insight into that woman's head. But, you know, she lives in Berkeley. And my only thought is that this is some kind of personal vendetta, yeah, because the city has been so proactive, yeah, when it comes to their cannabis regulations. You know, they recently became the first city to require dispensaries to set aside free cannabis for people who are low income. And I don't think she likes that.
Yeah.
And I think she's looking at this as an opportunity, but she's going to lose.
Right.
You know, and eventually when we look back in history at this, I mean, she's going to be looked at as a villain. I mean, it's not going to change.
Right.
Those, you know, cause she's looked at that way now.
How is this happening? With Berkeley, Melinda Haig, is it? That's how it's pronounced. And that's where Kevin Sabet did his undergrad work.
I know.
What's up with this?
So, well, this is kind of interesting because, you know, I teach at Berkeley.
Uh-huh.
And he was there at around the same time as one of my good friends who was with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. And he tried to start the first anti-drug group at Berkeley. And so they would have these sign wars where, like, he would put up an anti-drug meeting sign and she'd tear it down, and she would put up an SSDP sign and he would tear it down. I mean, all I can say is that he's the modern day Harry Anslinger.
Mm-hmm.
And he really gets off on being the one fish in the crowd to swim the other way, whether that's being the one anti-drug, you know, conservative at Berkeley, or whether that's being like the one person under the age of 35 who thinks marijuana should be illegal. You know, I mean, I think that's, he gets off on that. And unfortunately, you know, it would be funny, and we laugh about him, and, you know, he's kind of funny. But the fact is that thousands and tens and thousands of people are going to jail every year for marijuana and having their lives ruined because he has some kind of moral stance. And that's wrong. I mean, that's like egregious. I mean, I think, again, when we look back at history, I mean, he will be looked at as a Harry Anslinger. I mean, somebody who is responsible for the ruining of tens of thousands of lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a wonderful conference we're having here. We need to get back to it. Before we go, any last words for the audience as far as how to contact you, get in touch with DPA, or help this California movement in some way?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, Drug Policy Alliance, our website is drugpolicy.org. Very easy to remember. We have an unbelievable amount of great information on that website, not just about how to become involved, but fact sheets on different drugs so that you can impress your friends with your knowledge. I'm on there as well, but if you want to get in contact with me, my email is areiman@drugpolicy.org. I'm happy to answer any questions. And I'll also say that we have a column on the Drug Policy website that comes out every 2 weeks called Ask the Doctors About Marijuana, that's written by myself and Dr. Malik Burnett from our DC office. And you can submit questions. So if you have a question about marijuana, you can go and follow the link on the website and submit a question, and we'll answer it. I have to say, since we've been doing this column, about 90% of our questions, how to pass a drug test.
Yeah, that's very, here's the how you pass a drug test. Don't take one, or don't take drugs.
That's probably like the only way to not get pregnant is to not have sex.
You can pass up the test, or you can pass the test. You cannot cheat the test. Although I know a lot of people that manage to get around it, and that's, drug testing is what brought me here. I was drug tested out of an information technology career. I didn't wear these ties just for fun. This is something, as we move forward with legalization, that's kind of critical to me, is I think we're entering what I would call the Jim Crow period of marijuana. It's like, yeah, it's legal, but you're still second-class citizens. You still can get fired from your jobs, lose your child custody. Any thoughts on moving forward with equalization?
I think that's going to take time. I think the proof is in the pudding. I mean, unfortunately, we are guilty until proven innocent that we can actually be responsible individuals when it comes to our employment, our parenting, and our driving, and using cannabis. So I think what it's really going to take is for enough time to go by where people actually can observe people who use cannabis on a regular basis and see that it doesn't turn you into all these things they've been told. And then they'll start asking the question, well, how come they can get fired from work and how come they can lose their children? You know, something was very similar with the LGBT movement. Yeah, you know, it took some time, and then eventually people were saying, well, my neighbor's gay, but they're awesome, so why can't they get married? And
I think Frank, the gay guy at work, hey, he does a great job. What's the problem?
Exactly, exactly. So I think we will start to see that. The more normalized it gets, the less the stigma is there, the more people will be open about their consumption.
Fantastic. Amanda Ryman, Drug Policy Alliance. We're here at the International Cannabis Business Conference. Thanks for joining us here at the desk. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Always like talking to Amanda Ryman from Drug Policy Alliance, one of the leaders in California getting things done. Hey, folks, that's all the time we got for Hour 1, but stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We got more ICBC highlights, including Rick Steves, a highlight of his keynote speech there on Day 2, and Troy Dayton from ArcView Group, John Lee from MCLR 2016. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time. Take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you